D-Mates, Vigan, and Donick coming at you here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. This week's Nashville's best deal is Staley's Chicago Italian Dining, one of Nashville's best-kept secrets and winners of numerous best-of awards. Enjoy authentic Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. So get half off a $20 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Adam Vigan is off this week. We set the table on this Titans topic we want to hit on while the mini camp is going on. One of the podcasts, and I've said this many times on this show, I really enjoy the MMQB podcast. In fact, it was just revealed on one of the last ones that Connor Orr, who does the podcast with Albert Breer, is going to be coming to Nashville. I'm not exactly sure why, if that's 100% Titans related or not. I will try to find out because I enjoy the repartee between the two. I think they do a good job. They went through the AFC South on their recent episode. They started the discussion with the Titans, and they asked the question of what would be a successful year this year in Cam Ward's rookie season. They both had different answers, and we've talked about it a lot, D-Mace, on the show, that it may not have to do exactly how many wins you get, but what's the feeling, what's the direction that you're headed in. This was a good way of putting it, I thought, by Albert Breer, and we're going to discuss this.
Here's where I would plant my flag for them. I would say, give me a half dozen players that I know are going to be around in 2027 or 2028.
Yeah.
Give me, like, come out of this year with some foundation pieces where it's like, we are not going into the draft again, like, as a dartboard team. You know, a team right. that could just has to just get a good player on the roster. Like, we are starting to form something that looks like it's lasting here. That doesn't mean superstars, but show me J.C. Latham can be like a long-term answer at right tackle, right? Show me that you got Dan Moore right in free agency. You know, show me that the defense, like, you know, you've got a couple of young pieces. Maybe it's Olu who they drafted. Olu Oladejo from UCLA who they drafted. Maybe it's Kevin Winston, who I think has a ton of promise from Penn State at safety. But I think just having some of those pieces in place where it's like, all right, like, we're really excited to see where these guys go in 2026. Like, that to me would be a success.
All right, so a very simple way of talking about the goal for the Titans season. He did not mention wins and losses. I appreciated that. But he said, give me some foundation, about six, he said half dozen, foundational pieces that are going to be part of your team that you're building around in 2027 or 2028. Now, I thought it was interesting he mentioned 2027 because, as we talked about last hour, we think that the Titans are going to, let's say you get way, way ahead of schedule, they're not going to start playing in the new stadium until 2027. It's a great year. We remember the first year at the then Adelphia Coliseum. The Titans, the first year that they were the Titans, exploded. They became a different team. They went all over the Super Bowl. Great story. In a perfect world, with some good roster building, you hope that you have a really good team going into the new stadium where you got to sell some tickets. So I think it's a really intriguing question to ask. Give me the six foundational pieces that you think in, I don't want to say in a perfect world, because in a perfect world, maybe you have 10. But let's see who we think the ideal six players, if you could pick six, D-Mace, that are foundational pieces that you think are going to be the players you are building around in 2027. So this is different than your question yesterday, because now we're looking at 2027. Who do you hope are the six from
the current roster?
Yes. Yeah, we're not saying, hey, well, next year they're going to draft this guy. We're not talking about that, because that's going to be nice too. Hopefully you get some players there. But we know it's a thin roster. We know they got some new guys. Who are the six that you would take? I mean, I think we would all agree that Cam Ward's got to be one of the six, right?
Of course. You start off with Cam. You don't want to be each and every year, like Breer said, a dartboard team where just throw the dart, whatever guy, because we need people across the board. And that was the Tennessee Titans this year, to an extent. And you don't want that to continue to be the theme of every draft. So when you're looking at these players, it's what guys on this current team that we believe can be foundational guys that will usher this team into their new stadium in 2027. And, you know, the list, unfortunately, is very short, and it's even hard to come up with seven. What did he say? Seven, six?
He said six.
Six.
I mean, I think if we just – we all are going to have Cam Ward as one. Let's pick six others.
So,
all right? So really,
Cam,
it is seven.
It's Cam. It's JC, you believe. It's Sweat.
Okay. Sweat, all right. So Skoronski. So JC Latham.
Uh-huh.
Skoronski. T Sweat, that's three.
That's it on offense as of now. I mean, and I don't. It's hard to count like DK and, you know, Isle Manor because.
Well, okay. So Breer mentioned a couple of the draft picks.
Yeah.
Right. Femi Oladejo, uh-huh. And he mentioned the safety from Penn State. You know, those that would be great, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we could put them.
Yeah, we could put them. I mean,
that would
be
great.
If you want to add those two wide
that's
receivers.
That's going to be around. You got an edge rusher. That would be outstanding. So let's put them down.
So you got
we're taking
Cam
a leap of
Ward.
Faith here.
You got JC. You have Skoronski, Sweat, Oladejo. You have both of the receivers, DK and Isle Manor, so that's seven.
Well, jeez. I mean, see, and, but
right
think
there.
About how many hits, how few hits they've had in the draft over the last four or five drafts, and how many would have to go right for that many to get on this list, right? The odds are going to tell you that they're not all going to hit.
Would you say like one of those two wide receivers needs a hit?
I would
one of the two needs to be a high contributor to this offense this season, I believe. But if you're saying, okay, let them ease in, they need to be that by 2027.
All right, so let's a lot for, should we say, two rookies?
Yeah, let's take one of the rookies off.
Because we can talk about it all day of who we hope.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen. So let's just say two spots of rookies. So let's say Femi,
mm-hmm.
Oladejo, the second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go with the third round pick, the safety.
Okay.
And his name escapes me. What's his name? The kid from Penn State. Why am I forgetting? But I'm using him because Breer. And then you have, you would hope that one of the wide receivers emerges, right? But okay, let's get to here's the crux of where their roster is, right? You tell me in 2027,
Kevin Winston.
Winston
Jr., yep.
Yep. Okay, let's put him down. And then we got a wide receiver on there. So that's six spots, not including Cam Ward. So then we got room for one more.
Would you say Gunnar Helm or Jarvis Brownlee Jr., one of those two?
We can talk about the rookies
Brownlee
all day.
Jr.
But
yeah.
let's
Brownlee Jr.,
let's
how about
hope that?
That?
Let's hope that by the end of the year you have about three rookies mm-hmm. that you feel really good about. That would be a pretty good hit on your draft.
I think Jarvis Brownlee
Jr. And that's not including Cam Ward, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, of course.
So three other draft picks. That would be a great draft.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back to some other drafts like 2016. Mm-hmm. But here's where I think the interesting part of this question is. Who's not on this list, right? Is Jeffrey Simmons going to be on this team in 2027? What do you think, D-Mace?
I don't think he will be. And again, I don't think it's because, you know, I think he's going to be a bad player. I just think potentially the money he is going to want is not going to match up to what the Titans are thinking long term. You know, I think he's going to want a little bit more. And the Titans are going to be thinking, if you want to stay, you need to take a little bit less or a lot less because he's going to want a 3-4 year deal. And the Titans can give it to him, but I don't think they're going to give it to him at that price.
Okay. So Jeffrey Simmons will be age 30 when that stadium opens. I'll tell you who else is going to be 30. L'Jarius Sneed, Lloyd Cushenberry. Are those two guys going to be on the team when the new stadium opens in 2027? I hope Cushenberry is.
I don't know. The one guy that I think maybe, but the other two guys, no. I don't think they're going to be on the team.
Okay, and let's throw in another name. Dan Moore. They just signed him. Spent some pretty good money.
I would tend to say if he plays well.
He's 27.
If he plays well, then yes.
You better hope.
If he's consistent, then yes.
You really hope that. But I don't know if he's a foundational piece, but you would sure love to have your left tackle and your right tackle solidified. See, I think and I think the more you look at it, there's a lot riding on the offensive line. The investment they've made, two first-round picks, pretty sizable free agent spending on the other three. We don't know what the one guy's got left. Is it Ziegler? What's his?
Zeitler. He's Zeitler, one-year deal. Zeitler. One-year
he's
deal.
A one-year deal. Yeah. He's 35. So,
yeah, so let's just say he's 1 year.
I don't think he's going to be in the new stadium, but if you could get 2 years out of him even, that would be great. Just being able to have continuity in that line. There's so much riding on that. Tony Pollard, is he going to be on the team when the new stadium opens?
I'm not sure.
Probably not.
I'm not sure. You're talking about this season, all of next season, and then you're going into that.
You'd love to get one more really good year out of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Tajay Spears.
No.
No?
I'm not
no
sure.
Chance? No. See, he's young enough.
I'm not sure. Unless he stays healthy and pops, and I mean consistently, then I can't see him once his contract is over. And it's no.
Right. So this is the thing. By that time, guys like him, Spears, Roger McCreary, you would have to sign them to the next contract. And you got to be feeling good about investing in that guy. So, second contract for Spears, second contract for McCreary?
I don't see it. Either one of them. Again,
neither
unless,
one of them. McCreary, you don't think McCreary is a guy that you would hope to have in the new stadium? They got to keep some of these
guys,
right?
I'm not saying you don't hope to have them. I think if he's playing well, you hope to have them. But will someone else pay more to have a nickelback? Yes.
Well, that's that's a good point.
So it's not about.
Or do you jump out and get him before he gets to the market?
I don't think the Titans are going to do that.
You don't think so?
No. He hasn't. I think McQuarrie has been I think he started off strong, and he sort of faded, and now he's just kind of like, okay, I found my space, and now I'm just going to be – that's the player I'm going to be. I'm not sure if that's what the Titans want, because you got to understand this. That third corner sometimes has to match up with your best receiver. And if I don't see that there's room for improvement with, say, McQuarrie or somebody like a McQuarrie, then if I can upgrade it, I am going to upgrade it without having to pay that guy a second contract. I can upgrade it through the draft and have that guy on a rookie contract.
Okay. One more. Is Chig Okonkwo on this team when the new stadium opens?
It depends this year, but I'd say no. The Titans haven't signed or retained, I don't think, a tight end in a good while. Outside of Delanie Walker, and I'm talking about, tight ends. I'm not talking about a backup tight end that plays special teams.
Right,
No. I'm talking about a starting tight end.
Sort of the main pass catching tight end.
Yeah, I don't think they've re-upped the main tight end
since
Delanie Walker.
I think you're right. So
I don't see Chig being that guy unless he – unless he comes out and catch 50, 60 balls, then I can't see him making it to the 27.
He would have to be somebody who really takes a jump that we're not expecting.
Exactly.
Because I think we've seen him long enough to kind of
figure out what type of player.
He's not bad.
He's a solid player, but he's...
He's not bad, but he's not going to be a second contract guy at this point, probably, right?
He's not one of
those guys.
You got
to hope that the rookie that you just drafted ends up being better or less. Yeah.
You hope Gunnar Helm could take that step in his second year. Hopefully he can come on and emerge as that guy this year. But then if he doesn't, if he show progress, he show development, you hope that second year is the year that he takes off and be a starter. I just don't think Chig – has done enough at this point, and it's going to take damn near 180, I think, for the Titans to say, you know what, our priority in offseason is to sign Chigakonkwo to a longer-term deal.
I'll believe that when I see it. So there's the question, 615-737-1025. Give me the six players. Let's keep Cam Ward out of discussion because it goes without saying that for anything to go right by the time that stadium opens, they have everything riding on Cam Ward being a part of that. But six foundational pieces, if you had to predict when that stadium opens in 2027, who's on your list and who's not on your list? But it should, what this drill, I'm calling it a drill like we're at a camp or something. What this exercise does, though, is show you how thin the options are. As Mike Borgonzi walks in and looks at all his players and saying, okay, let's look at our team, 2027, new stadiums open. He's going down a long list of players who are going to play big roles on this team this year that he cannot tell you right now if they're going to be on the team in 2027. It is a thin roster of talent 25 and under. They got basically none, right? Other than the list we started with yesterday, Skoronski, Latham, and Sweat. You know, okay, we got something there, you hope. Pretty good. I don't know how great, but after that, it gets very, very thin, other than your rookie class. That's not a good place to be. 615-737-1025. Who are your six foundational pieces when that stadium opens? Hit the text line, hit the phone line. DVD is coming back in a moment. DVD presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll check in with Jared Stillman a little later in the hour. But today's exercise is to predict the hope that you have six foundational pieces when you go into the new stadium in 2027 by the end of this year. So we got a lot riding on this draft class is what we're finding here, because the rest of the candidates are pretty shaky. And this is a little bit of what we got into yesterday with the Titans' state of the roster. But I think it's a great question. Albert Breer brought up that's what he wants for it to be a successful season. Forget about the wins and losses. But identify when you go into that new stadium in 2027, six foundational pieces. We've asked you guys to throw them out there, 615-737-1025, and see what you think. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, but this is what Brinker and Borgonzi wanted to stress about them building, you know, this roster. They want to be able to draft, develop, and retain. And because they know how crucial and critical it is in today's football to get your younger guys up to speed as quickly as possible, because, you know, they're going to be the guys that you're going to look to as the years go on, is those older guys, I mean, those younger guys that you tend to draft right now. So as fast as they can get these guys on board, the better it is. For the Tennessee Titans, because right now, frankly, I mean, realistically speaking, you take out let's just take out all of the rookies. Let's just say rookies outside of Cam Ward. Let's just say rookies, because we know Cam Ward's going
to
be there.
Right. I think so for this to work, they need about three other guys.
Yeah.
Out of all of them. To exactly. Be, and that's a lot to hope for.
Exactly, because if you
from take a second through a seventh round, right?
Because if you take the rookies out, then you're looking at the running back room. Nobody really.
you got nothing. You got cool. Nothing. You
receiver
can really
room outside of the rookies. Receiver room. Nobody. You hope that.
I think Cushenberry and Dan Moore are two swing guys that would be really important. I'd like to be able to put them on that list. But so, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, so outside of that, it's tight end position. You're taking Gunnar Helm out, so I don't see Chigakonkwo being here in 2027. I don't see Josh Wiley. If he is here, is he a big contributor? I don't know. So you're looking at Dan Moore, Peter Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry, and J.C. Latham.
Let's just run down a couple of things that the the texters have, the listeners have put in here for their candidates. We've got Skyler saying Latham, Dan Moore, Sweat, Femi, that's the second round pick,
yes.
Oladejo, Kevin Winston, the third round pick, that's a safety, and Cedric Gray, or one of those linebackers. Now, the linebackers, I don't know. Maybe you come up with something in there. I'm not sure. I'm not counting on it. But Skyler points out Skoronski won't make it to the second contract if he keeps playing like he has. Simmons, Hooker, Snead will be gone by 2027. Too old and expensive. I tend to agree with that. Yeah. I think the chances that any of those three are on the roster are very slim. Maybe one of the three, but likely none of the three. Another texter, Latham, Dan Moore, Io Manor, that's one of the wide receivers, mm-hmm. that's a kid from Stanford, Oladejo, Winston, Brownlee. Now, that's an interesting. Jarvis Brownlee is one that maybe would have an outside shot to be a guy that you want on the team in 2027. That would be a great swing guy to put out there. That's a good one I had not mentioned.
Yes, if I think judging by the way Brownlee played last year, he had some good moments, and we understand he got beat. A few times or a handful of times more than he would have liked. But he was a rookie last year, and he was learning on the fly. They didn't expect him to start, but he had to start because of the injuries, and he became a better player as the year went on. So I think his development this year is going to be crucial. Can he build on what he did last year? If he does, then he is a core foundational player. I like the way he plays. I like his demeanor. I like that, you know, it seems like he learns from what goes on out there on a football field. We had an opportunity, you know, maybe I'm biased because we had an opportunity to talk to him, and he just seemed like a kid that was all about ball. That's all he was about. So I think if he has another year, you know, to build on what he did last year, and if he can develop as it seemed like he is doing, he's going to be one of those corner guys, meaning one of those pillar guys.
He's got an opportunity to do it. He's certainly going to get the chance to play. Dylan in Antioch says, at this point, I would not even bet on Skoronski getting a second contract. That would be disastrous if he doesn't get that. He says, unless he takes a huge step forward this season. I don't know if he needs to take a huge step. Mm-hmm. I think he took a pretty good step last year, and I think another decent step this year, he's on his way to a second contract. But he points out, Dylan does, Nate Davis didn't get a second contract, and they're pretty much the same player right now. He said in his opinion, I don't agree with that. I think Skoronski is a step up from Nate Davis, who was a solid player, but he was one of the several guys under the John Robinson that they let walk and didn't sign to the second contract.
But see, the thing is with Peter Skoronski, yes, he's a former first rounder, but he's not, I don't think he can command unless he has a great season this season. I don't think he's going to command the big dollars. Now, there may be one crazo out there that decides we want to pay him, you know, more than you know, what you should. But I think, you know, on average, I think every team would probably look at him as a, you know, not a big ticket guy.
Okay, beware, D-Mace. I'm going to strike a chord with this one because I'm going to bring back something.
Oh, my goodness.
Text. Jonnu Smith was really good. We shouldn't have let him go. Well, there's another guy that they did not reinvest in.
And that part I was
– we were talking about tight ends in agreement.
Yeah, I wasn't in agreement with them not re-signing Jonnu. I thought in this offense, he was becoming a player that – you know, you wanted him to be, and you, for whatever reason, you decide not to re-sign him to another contract.
Wes in Clarksville says, I bet, he's feeling very optimistic today, I bet we have another GM and coach and QB in 2027.
I hope not.
Oh, man. Imagine that trifecta.
Oh, my goodness. Which means we're in for two more horrible seasons. That's what he's basically saying.
Another pessimistic texter says, I'm sure Ward will be on the roster, but not as a starter. I don't think he's got what it takes. All right, time will tell on that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to one other question that is an offshoot of this. If we agree that Jeffrey Simmons is not a guy you could put on this list of six for the foundation, shouldn't they trade him? If he's not going to be on the team in 2027, why are we wasting our time?
I think you have to keep him almost.
But isn't it kind of the pump and dump? You hope he plays well so his stock goes up and then you can get as much as you can for him? Like, I would start to be in that mode, honestly.
Yeah, you have to. He has two more years plus this season. So he has a total of three more years left on his contract plus this season. I know, and I believe 100%, he's not going to reach that last year
right.
in his contract.
And he will have no trade value exactly. at that point. So if you're going to trade him, the earlier you mm-hmm. make up your mind to do that, the more you have a chance to get for him, I think.
This season, there's a and there's a reason why. And listen, he wants to be a better player. I know that. And you're trying to find ways to reinvent yourself. There's a reason why Jeffrey came in 15 pounds lighter, moves better.
Okay.
He chose to work, you know, a little bit longer with his guy. He knows this is his contract year. He knows it. I know he has 3 years remaining on the contract, but this is the year.
Okay.
Where, because if he balls out this season, he understands that he won't be in camp next season. He just won't. He won't be in camp next season. Why? Because he and his camp understands that he's getting older, and this is his last big shot at a contract, which okay. tells me the Titans, he will not be on this team in 2027 because they're going to find a way to facilitate a trade right before the draft.
All right.
That's my prediction.
Okay. So
I think he's going to play great this year. I think he's going to be a really impactful player.
Okay. So, but you're saying if you're the Titans, then you should absolutely be in the mode of,
oh, yeah.
let's see what we can get
yes.
for Big
After
Jeff.
After this season, yes.
And not, hey, let's hope Big Jeff's still great when he's 30.
Yes. It's
because I agree with you 100%.
It's, okay, if we have to keep him, we got to keep him, but we know that he may not be coming into camp because there's going to be a contract dispute.
Right, and that's a tough place
and
to be.
And that's just how it is.
And if that happens, and we've seen it before, mm-hmm. you don't get much in a trade.
You see what's happening to Henderson, and I guarantee you Simmons and his camp is watching that.
Yeah.
T.J. Watt. Simmons and his camp is watching what's going on in regards, because those guys have years left
yep.
on
and,
their contract.
And they're a little bit
a
older than
left.
Jeffrey,
exactly.
but Jeffrey will get to that point
absolutely.
Pretty soon. 29, 30 years old, where you start to, most people mm-hmm. start to age, start to drop off around that time. It doesn't mean that they are individually going to. Nobody thinks they're going to, but a lot of people do.
But and there's not, and people, there's nothing wrong
no,
with
there's
that
nothing wrong with
like,
that.
Listen, if Jeff wanted to drop 15 pounds, Jeff wanted to come out here and be the best player he can be for this season, knowing that more than likely this is a contract season, then so be it, because I know I'm going to get the best version of Jeffrey Simmons. So be it. But no, when that happens, next year, there will be a contract dispute. 100%, I predict. There will be he will say, I am not coming into camp until I get a contract. Hmm. Every defensive player has done it. Hendrickson, TJ, he's doing it. Okay. Miles Garrett threatened to do it last year. He ended up getting his contract this year. Or he threatened it this year. One of the two. But he ended up getting his contract. He said, I wanted to be traded. He thought about being traded. They gave him a fat contract. What did you hear? Nothing after that. So, again, Jeffrey is going into his contract year. Mm. And I think the Titans know it.
I think you are setting the table. So we've talked a lot about the leadership stuff. Mm-hmm. I think this contract part of it is going to end up being a much bigger story than the leadership part of it. I think, mm-hmm. even though it's easy to grasp, hey, he's a leader, is he not a leader? It's an easy one to discuss. Mm-hmm. The contract part is a little more complicated, but I think the more important thing is Jeffrey Simmons has been a pretty big asset.
Yes.
Can you get something for that asset before you lose him for nothing, or just let him age out and play for what we think is going to be a pretty mediocre team for the next couple of years, the last couple of years of this stadium? Let me throw another name at you and also – and give me your vision for the next year or two. I think we believe that Calvin Ridley is not going to be on the team when the new stadium opens. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. He'd have to play better than I think he's going to play at the stage of his career. Let's not forget, he's a little older than people realize. I hope he's got the ability for the next year or two to really help Cam Ward. Right? That would be a huge return on your investment for Ridley. If he ends up being a really good target who helps Cam Ward succeed in the early years. But 2027, when the new stadium opens, I don't know if Calvin Ridley is going to be on the team. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you for this reason. Again, I'm trying to, and maybe I passed. Oh, here it is. Calvin Ridley, this is another reason why. And I don't think it may not have a lot to do with the production unless he just, like, don't perform. So he's under contract for two more seasons after this. He'd be in year 33. So he has this year with a base at 22, next year 20, and then 27, 20.
Yep. It doesn't sound like he'll be going into his age 33 season. Now that's older than D-Hop was.
Yeah, it's not that it's a lot. It's not that it's a lot of money, but it may be a lot of money for a 33-year-old receiver, depending on what the production is.
Yes.
So if he goes out this season and 1,300 yards, okay, he comes back in 26. That's going to be the year. 25 and 26 are going to be the 2 years that the Titans look at and determine whether Calvin Ridley is on this team in 2027. I can't see him being on this team in 2027. They don't have a history of keeping receivers that long,
right,
when they've either drafted them or brought them in as free agents young. They don't have a history of keeping them well into their 30s. So I think this season is probably more important than a 26 season. Because they need somebody that can grow with Cam Ward for the next 5 to 6 years. That's what they need.
I agree. And if this is the other way to look
at it. Or 4 to 5 years, let's say that.
If we were doing this exercise in 2019, mm-hmm, I think we would have a much better
easier
list, and we'd be trying to narrow it down, mm-hmm, to six and not find six of players that we thought and knew would be the core of the team in 2 years.
Just think, if you'd have kept AJ.
Like right now, we're really having trouble identifying that we're relying on rookies to be the core that you have in 2 years. That's not a good place to be in. It wasn't like that before, but that's where those empty drafts have really haunted them. The last three Robinson drafts in particular, because those are the age players that you would be thinking would be on this list of six, mm-hmm, and they don't have any. All right, when we come back, we'll get Jared involved in this discussion. We'll ask him the question, and we will move forward to the finish line here on DVD, here on 102.5 The Game. All right, we're coming down the home stretch. Stillman & Company coming up next. I'm told that Jared will not be joining us. So I don't know what Jared had. Apparently he told this to other people.
He has Sirius until 2.
But he kept his secret from the three of us. He told other people involved in our show.
So I wish I would have known. Yeah, the producer would love to know this.
We had a communication breakdown somewhere. But Jared would be rip-roaring, ready to go at 2 o'clock, I'm sure. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you on DVD. So, D-Mace, mm-hmm, NBA Finals Game 3 tonight. I'm really hoping that we see a classic tonight, and I want the Pacers to win because I feel like for this to be a fun series that we remember someday and not just, oh, yeah, who won it in 2025? Oh, yeah, that was OKC. I think the Pacers have to win this game.
Of course they have to, and OKC is favored by 5.5 points in Indiana, so that's going to be interesting to watch. But yeah, if Indiana doesn't get this game, this series is over with, I believe. Even though I think OKC will win the series, but if they can't, you know, pick up a victory tonight, I've already stated, you know, the third game in a series hasn't been kind to the Indiana Pacers. They've lost every third game in this year's playoffs. They got blew out twice, and they lost to the Knicks by 6. So, third game hasn't proven to be one that the Indiana Pacers show up, up on the court. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play, considering they got mollywopped in game 2 by the Thunder. So we'll see what happens. But I'm interested in seeing this. And you know what I'm really interested in seeing, Willie? You know, we haven't talked about it at all. We talked about it briefly at the beginning of the show. I can't wait until Friday when Edmonton plays the Panthers, Florida Panthers, for what it'd be the third game in that series, the fourth game in that series.
That's
fourth game in that series.
Game four is tomorrow.
Game four is tomorrow.
Elliot Friedman will join us tomorrow.
I'm really looking forward to that because, again, I want to see what adjustments because they're still playing in Florida, right? So Florida has the advantage when talking about line changes.
And that's one thing that they don't do in the NHL that the NBA started doing. Did the NBA switch back to the 2-2-1-1-1? Do they still go 2-3-2?
Yeah, 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 it's 2-2-1-1
in the NBA.
Yep.
Remember for a while, for a long time.
It was going 3.
They went 2-3-2 because East versus West. The NHL, if you were ever going to do it, would probably be smart to do it when you have Edmonton and Florida so far apart. Let's just stay in Florida for one more game.
2-3-2.
But I think the teams, they want that change in venue in game 6 and 7. So I'm with you. I think there's a lot of parallels in these two series of where the Pacers and the Oilers are a little bit in catch-up mode. They're struggling to keep up in the race. Mm-hmm. When everything's going right, they got just enough to do it, but they need something. They're clearly underdogs at this point, I would say. Let me give you one other topic to tackle that just came out. Finally, and so we should raise a toast because finally there are going to be challenges in college basketball for rules for referees calls instead of we're going to go to the monitor to see who the ball went out of bounds on. You know, the
refs got it over.
Yeah, yeah. He's giving a little sweet curly cues on. Yeah, let's take the monitor.
And they all three look at the monitor. Like, all right, guys, what do we see? Okay. What do we see?
You know, you get the little mousy mouse, and you're like, oh, let's roll it back. How much time was left?
They were horrible.
They were horrible this team. Driving us crazy,
especially in the tournament. They were
mercifully, we have a challenge system now.
Wow!
But now here's what they come up with, and I'd like to see a little more detail on this because officials can still initiate video reviews. God,
seriously,
please don't.
No, man.
I think it should just straight up be you make your call. You're the official. You make the call. Put it on the other team
to challenge
that doesn't like the call to challenge. So here is what it looks like. Coaches can now challenge. This is going to be ratified, it looks like. Coaches can now, this is men's and women's basketball. Coaches can now challenge at any point in the game out of bounds calls, basket interference, goaltending, and whether a secondary defender was in the restricted area. Borrowing from NBA's challenge rules, teams must have a timeout to request an interview. If the challenge is successful, teams will get one additional replay challenge for the rest of the game. If the initial challenge is unsuccessful, the team will not be able to challenge the rest of the game. So I like that as a strategy.
Yeah, you got
to be. That is going to keep the game flowing because a coach who might not like a play where the ball.
Hurley.
Hey, that went off of David. Yeah.
Hurley.
Hurley loves.
Pick your Hurley.
Exactly.
Bobby.
Pick
or
any
Danny.
One of them.
Yeah. They're, yeah. But if you're going to do it, you better be right. But here's what's interesting, too. Don't you think? Let's say the referees, let's say David is our ref. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, you and I are on our bench, and we're like, yeah, that David, man, he's a terrible ref. I'm going to challenge every time he screws this up. He's having a bad night. And let's say we challenge, and we're right. Now, according to the rule, we can only challenge one more time. Even if we're right on the second challenge, we don't get another challenge. I don't like that. I think if you're right every time, you should keep your challenge.
Yeah, you should be able to keep your
challenge. I think you should go until you're wrong, don't you think? Because the refs, who's to say that David won't screw five more calls up?
Well, I guess.
Hey, I will not screw five more calls up. Maybe one more.
We're going to have faith in you then. Or,
but you should be able to keep your challenge.
You're going to save that challenge. You're going to save the challenge. And so that will, I think minimize or at least decrease the number of mindless challenges.
So they're
in the
saying,
first half or even with 15 minutes left to go.
They're saying that if you challenge and you are not successful, you lose both. You can't challenge anymore, right? But if you guess, but if you challenge,
if you lose your challenge, you're done with the challenge.
Yeah, you can't challenge anymore. So
and if you don't have any timeouts, you can't challenge. So
but
you gotta save
if
timeouts.
You get it right, you do have another challenge, right?
Oh, but yes, but only one.
Only one. I mean, I guess that is right because
it's like in NFL, if you're right,
Yeah, you would
you,
be able
to. You keep your challenge. You can continue to challenge.
Yeah, but I mean, I can see why you do it because you don't want, you know, yeah, you're right. And you keep on challenging on and on. It's like, okay, you got two challenges no matter what. Now, if you guess wrong, you lose both of them. But if you guess right, you still get to keep your last. So I'm okay with that because I'm all about getting those referees in and out of that monitor booth as quickly as possible. That's all.
Yeah. While officials could still initiate video reviews on goaltending and restricted arc plays in the final 2 minutes of games, so officials can do that without a challenge, out-of-bounds reviews can now only be initiated by a coach's challenge. I like that. So you can't just play the card, the crutch, if you're the ref, because I see this all the time. Mm-hmm. You and David go for a rebound. Who to go off of? Like, for a million years, if I'm a ref, I make the call.
Yeah.
I make the call. And we live with the call. Now, that ref is like, as soon as that ball goes up, he's looking around.
Oh, it touched his pinky.
He's looking around going, let's just to be sure, let's take the monitor. And then, you know, because there's a lot of battles, especially in the last 2 minutes of games, where you don't know who we're on. In a pickup game.
Yeah.
You're like, it's off you. No, it's not off of me, it's off of you. We fight for a minute.
Let's go to review.
And then you're like, all right, it was off me. You're right, it was off me. The person, most of the time, the person knows. That's what they ought to do.
But they're not going to say anything. But I am happy college basketball has got a replay.
We're moving into the 21st century. And then here's the last one, though.
You lose your chance.
We're going to end on a sour note. Officials will also continue to use instant replay for timing, scoring issues, and we're going to check to see if it was a flagrant foul. We're going to see if it's a flagrant one or a flagrant two or just a common foul. That is the dumbest.
It amazes
so
me, Willie.
So dumb.
Willie, it amazes me.
People get contact in a basketball game. It's okay.
How long they're at the monitor.
Oh, that's a flagrant one, or should it be upgraded to a flagrant two? I don't know. Oh, well.
It's funny.
Don't even get me started.
They're at that microphone for like five minutes. Come on. That's not a flagrant foul. You know it.
And the guy loves to get in the camera right at the scorer's table looking. We are going to upgrade to a flagrant two. Oh, God. Killing me.
Hey, man, that's his time in the sun, man. He's shining.
Camera time. All right, we're out of here. We'll have to pick up the discussion tomorrow. Jared's coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful, and loving Wednesday. Peace.